Have you ever had a bad hair day? Oh, come on. Come on. You always look nice, Mary Frank. What are you talking about? Oh, Sid's rubbing his head. Yeah, I'm sure he has a lot of them. You had too many of them. That's what happened to you, huh? You just said, I'm getting rid of it. I'm not going to have any more of these. Well, you probably know what it means to have a bad hair day. And matter of fact, right after the service, after everybody was gone, I was either in this restroom here. It might have been when I got home. But I looked in the mirror and saw a big old piece of hair sticking up. And I wondered, wow, my goodness, was that? And I'd have to ask y'all, was that the whole time I was preaching? But the good, maybe I messed it up right before I got home. But you know how it is. You look in the mirror, you see that big thing, that rooster tail or that hair messed up in a bad place. And you say, my goodness, have I been looking like this? Or sometimes it happens before you leave the house and you see yourself and you say, well, my goodness, I just can't get it right. And it's time to go. I've got to leave. Just forget about this. I've got to head out. And then I guess that's what's considered a bad hair day. You got to head on out because you're out of time and you're not pleased with it. And then maybe you head out and you just think, oh, I look terrible today. I look terrible today. Well, we want to look and just a moment, one of the great lessons that we learn from Job in his life and all the trials that he went through. One of the things we learn near the end of the book in chapter 42, Job chapter 42, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. But one of the things we learn is that when you see Almighty God, when you catch a glimpse of Him, and when you have that privilege and He reveals Himself and you see Him, and then after gazing at Almighty God, holy, perfect, glorious God, and we can't even see Him, but just a glimpse of Him. And then we look back at ourselves, that's going to be a bad hair day. When you catch a glimpse of Him and you see Him as He reveals Himself, and then you look back at yourself, that's going to be the worst hair day you've ever had. You're going to say, whoa, forget about my hair, my whole life is a wreck. I look terrible today after looking at Him. That's one of the great lessons that we learn from what Job went through in all his trials. Well, look at it with me in Job 42, verses 1 through 6. Let me pray and then we'll read it. Father, we just ask that You'd speak to us through Your Word, Lord. Thank You so much for it. Thank You so much for this gift of Your living Word, Lord, that we can hear from You at any time, Lord, that we have access to Your Word in abundance, and Lord, that You speak through Your Word. Lord, we ask that You would do that tonight. Glorious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who pursues us with grace and truth. Wonderful, awesome, Holy Spirit. Great and awesome Godhead, who You are in Your essence, Trinity, Almighty God. Lord, we ask that You would speak to us. Lord, get me out of the way. Let us hear from You. Let us see You tonight, Lord. Lord, we've heard of You. We've all heard of You. Many, many people have heard of you. But Lord, we're asking that you would take us that step beyond hearing of you and let us see you tonight. That we may then see ourselves and that we may repent. Help us. Speak to us. Get me out of the way, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. And Lord, apply your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to it. Job 42, verses 1 through 6. God has just spoken to Job. He's just revealed himself. He's just... Back in chapter 38, God begins just sharing truth after truth about who he is and what he does. And God has been revealing himself. We come to chapter 42. I'm going to back up just a couple of verses before 42 and just let you hear some of the things that the Lord is saying. And then we'll look at 42 verses 1 through 6. But back up into verse 30 of the previous chapter, it says, and he's speaking of this Leviathan. It backs up even more. Actually, at the beginning of 41, can you pull the Leviathan? Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Then you skip on over, drop down to verse 30. His undersides are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud like a threshing sledge. He makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. Behind him, he leaves a glistening wake. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is his equal, a creature without fear. He looks down on all that are haughty. He is king over all that are proud. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. There it is. I want us to really zone in on that verse 5 and verse 6. I've heard of you. But now that I've seen you, these are the principles here. I've heard of you, Lord, but now that I've seen you, I repent. That's what Job is saying. I've heard of you, but now that I see you, I repent. Let's look at those three statements. I've heard of you. We see that in the beginning of verse 5. My ears had heard of you, Job declares. Many have heard of the Lord. Especially in our country. Many, many people have heard of the Lord, have heard of Jesus Christ, have heard of God revealing Himself as Trinity, have heard of Christianity, have heard about all these incredible truths of the faith, heard of the Bible, heard of the gospel. Many have heard of it all over our nation, all over the world. Many have heard of it. But you can just head out here in Montgomery. You could go to Walmart or the mall or wherever you find yourself here in Montgomery. You could talk to people and you could ask. Matter of fact, you can go ahead and just talk into somebody here in Montgomery, just a stranger, and just trying to strike up a spiritual conversation with them. A great question to ask that's pretty much non-offensive to anybody in this area is, do you go to a church anywhere? Just about everybody has heard of the gospel and Christianity and Jesus and church, and many have heard. Many have heard of Him, this God, the God of the Bible. Many have heard. You may be saying, well, all my life I've heard of Him. I can't remember a time. My parents were Christians. And from the time I remember anything, I remember Jesus was a part of our life. I remember hearing about Jesus and going to church, and there's never been a time I've not come. You may be somebody as privileged as that. That you've always, or you can't even remember a time that you didn't hear about Him. You may have that privilege. That you've heard about Him all your life. And many in this area would say they've heard of Him all their life. Many who attend church here at Highland Avenue would say, I've heard of Him all my life. I've heard of Him all my life. I grew up Catholic. But the God of the Bible, I've heard of Him all my life. And Jesus, and in all kinds of different places, and from friends. And I've heard of Him all my life. Maybe that's you too. Think about that. How long have you heard of Him? How long have you heard of Him? And then you may remember the first time. You may have been a little bit older. The first time you really heard about Jesus and understood who He is, you may have been a little bit older. How long has it been? How long have you heard of Him? And then many would also say, I've heard of Him. And I believe in Him. I believe in Jesus. I believe everything about Him. I know that He went to the cross, and I believe He died for everybody's sins. I believe He's raised from the dead. I believe He's the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. And I believe this is God's Word, and it's true. And many believe in Him. Believe in the God of the Bible. But then, all that can still be true. All that can still be true. I've heard of Him. I believe in Him. And then the question could be asked, well, what's going to get you into heaven? What's going to get you there? What do you think it takes for a person to get there? Or maybe somebody would specifically ask, well, if you died, you left here and the Lord forbid you were in a car accident and you got hit, and that was it, just instant. You died, and all of a sudden you stood before the Lord, and let's say you were face to face with Jesus. And let's just say that He asked you. He said your name. He looked you in the eyes and He said your name. He said, so-and-so, why should I let you into my kingdom? What do you think you'd tell Him? What would you tell Him? And you think about that. You think about your answer. And you see, we can hear of Him. We can hear everything about Him. And we can believe everything about Him. And then, would you believe that on that last day, when we stand in judgment before Him, we could stand right there with Him, would you believe that hearing about Him all this time and believing in Him, that it could be possible that we could not get in? that that could be possible. But you see it in Matthew chapter 7. You can flip over there real quick. Jesus warned us about this. You see, you hold your place in Job 42. But turn to Matthew 7 for a minute. You see, it's possible to have a head knowledge. I've heard of him, hear of him all your life, growing up, all everything. And I believe all that I've heard. It's possible to have that head knowledge, but not yet have that heart knowledge where you know him personally. Well, the demons believe in him.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm interpreting him differently.
They believe in him.
Even Satan.
Trust.
Believe.
There's an issue of trust in him. Believe in him. You could interpret it that way. If you believe in him, if you're trusting in him. Well, I see what you're saying. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, if you mean, are you trusting in Jesus? Well, then, yeah, you have trusted in him. You've put your faith in him. I'm believing in him. I'm trusting in him for something. But
we could give people a false assurance if we're not sure that they mean the Bible. It's more than believe he exists.
Right. See, some may say, well, I believe in him. I believe in Jesus. You have to dig a little deeper and find out, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, that's what you're saying. Well, what? Yeah, you just asked me. Well, what do you mean, believe in him? But that's it. You have to find out what's in somebody's heart. What do they mean by believe in Jesus? You're talking to somebody and you say, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in him. Well, they could mean, yes, I believe that he existed. He was a real person. He was here 2,000 years ago. He did all these miracles. He died on the cross. I believe he raised from the dead. You could believe all that. But, and some people may phrase it that way. They might say, yeah, I believe in him. And they believe all that. But that's where we're going. Hold on, let's look at this. Let's look at Matthew 7. And you see, if they have not yet trusted in him and put their faith in him, then they have that head knowledge, which God tells us about in James. Even the demons believe God and they shudder. But we know no demon will be in heaven. They believe everything about Jesus. They know who he is. They believe he existed. They know he died on the cross. They know everything about him. They believe, but they're not trusting in him for anything. They hate him. They can't stand him. They're not turning to him, trusting in him for anything. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 7, in verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" You see the difference there? We can know, a person can know all about Jesus and have a head knowledge and believe all the things about Jesus. but not know him personally, not have that relationship where they have acknowledged their personal need, that they are a sinner and their penalty is death and hell, and that that's what they're facing, and that they see him as their Savior, and they go to him, they trust in him, they put their faith in him, they say, I need you, Jesus. Back to that dependence that we talked about at the beginning. Billy Graham saying, God, help me. God, totally dependent. Well, that's how it is for our salvation. We can't get anywhere. But unless we depend, we turn to Jesus and say, save me. I need you. Thank you for what you did for me to make my way. That you paid for my sins, that you're raised from the dead. You lived the perfect life I could never live. And I put my faith in you. I trust you to save me. Come into my life. And see, that's somebody calling out in dependence, trusting in Jesus, giving their life to Jesus. And then what happens is in John 3:3, Jesus talked about it. What happens when somebody truly does that? They truly trust in him. Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And what happens is when somebody truly does that and they call on the Lord Jesus and they truly put their faith in him, or like you mentioned, they believe in him by faith, then he comes in. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, as God tells us in Acts chapter 2. And His Spirit gives birth to their spirit. God said, Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, Spirit gives birth to spirit. And it's a capital S. God's Spirit gives birth to your spirit. Any human being who's lived in this world, who has not found Jesus yet, their spirit is dead because of trespasses and sins. They're dead to God. And the penalty of sin is upon them. They're slaves to sin and death, and the penalty is death and hell. But when somebody hears that good news, and God is drawing them, and the Holy Spirit is working, and Jesus said that Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it's going to go next. The wind blows. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. So it is with the Spirit of God. You don't know who he's going to save next. His Spirit comes, and this person hears, and they respond. They believe, and they place their faith in him. They don't just believe that he exists and that it's all true, but they place their faith in him. I guess another way to illustrate it is, I can believe in this chair. I believe in it. I believe it exists. I believe in it. Just like we were talking about, somebody could say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in this chair. It's not doing anything for me right now, but I believe it exists. I believe it would hold me up if I'd sit in it. I believe that. But it's not doing anything for me. I haven't really put my faith in it because I'm standing right here. But I can tell you, I believe in it. I know it would hold me up. I know it would. I believe it. I have faith that it would. But you see the difference? Right now, I just have a head knowledge, so to speak. But the moment I say, I'll show you. There we go. I have just placed my faith in that chair. And I was right. It held me up. It's holding me up. I placed my faith in that chair. This is what we're talking about.
Isn't a good example, too, the exchanged life when one truly believes in the You give your sinful life to Christ. He takes it. And then he gives you his righteousness.
Amen.
It's like an exchange.
Galatians 2:20.
Yes.
Right? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The old me in my trespasses and sins is dead and gone. Now Christ lives in me, and I've been given his righteousness. God places us in Christ. And when he looks at you, if you're a believer, you've got that faith in Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees his son. He sees the righteousness of his son. And God says in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the question. Are you in Christ Jesus? Do you have a head knowledge where you've heard it all your life and you believe it all? But are you still standing here with a head knowledge to where this could be a possibility for you? You could die, you could stand before Jesus and He could say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you could say, oh Lord, I taught Sunday school and I was in the church. My parents brought me there. I was like this big. I've served you. That's exactly what Jesus is saying these people said. They were even calling Him Lord. That's like, you're my Lord. You're God. They were even saying, Lord, Lord. We did miracles and they did amazing things in God's name, didn't they? Miracles and cast out demons and wow, they were on fire for the Lord, doing incredible things for the Lord. But yet He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. How could that be? Well, He said, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Do I know Jesus personally? Do I know that I know that I know that I have a relationship with Him, that I know Him? If so, great. His Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. That's evidence. If you know it and you know it, you just know it in your heart. Well, God says He's given you His Holy Spirit. You're not alone in here. His Spirit is telling you inside of you. His Spirit is saying, you're my child. You're a child of God. So you're not just convincing yourself. Yeah, I'm His child. I remember one day I believed and it's just not you. He gives you His Spirit. And His Spirit testifies to your spirit. You are His child. And so the question is, have you trusted in Him like that? Have you put your full weight in Him? Have you trusted in Him to save you from your sins? And that's the difference. This is the one that Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, yeah, they believed all about Him. They served Him. They did all these great things in His name. But they never had a relationship with Him. They didn't trust in Him. They didn't put their faith in Him like that. I guess they kind of stood here. But then somebody that puts their faith in Him, they trust in Him. Jesus, save me. I need you. Come into my life. Give you my life. Then that person, the Spirit has come to live in them. And then they know Him. They have that relationship with Him. And so, this is what we're talking about. I've heard of you. I've heard of you. Well, that's great. A lot of people have heard of Him. A lot of people have heard a lot about Him. A lot of people believe a lot about Him. But none of us wants to be in that category of not knowing Him, not having that relationship with Him. Well, I believe this is what happens when Job moves a little bit further. And then in 5b, when he says this, my ears had heard of you. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. God revealed Himself to Job. God spent all this time, all this discussion, revealing Himself to Job, speaking to Job. Job was receiving His words, the word of the Lord. And God revealed Himself and showed who He was and spoke all these incredible things to Job. And now Job says, verse 5, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Now my eyes have seen you. That's what the song Amazing Grace is talking about. That's so appropriate. Didn't you just lead us in that? That's what the song Amazing Grace is talking about. What does he say? I was blind, but now I see. I was blind. There was a time I had heard, but now I see. The spiritual blindness is gone. My eyes have been opened spiritually. Well, what's happened? Well, He's repented of his sins. He's put his faith in Jesus. He's actually sat in the chair of Jesus. He's actually put his whole life in Jesus' hands. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes. And the Spirit gave birth to his Spirit. And now the Father testifies to his Spirit that he is a child of God. And now the veil has been removed. And now he has eyes to see. And I'm speaking of the writer of Amazing Grace in all this. And so now he writes this beautiful line. I was blind. I remember how I was. But now I see. My eyes have been opened. He's got the Spirit of God now. God does that. His Holy Spirit does that. He opens our eyes spiritually so we can see. How can you see him? How can you see him? Well, he's revealed himself in his word. How can you see him today? He's right here. He's revealed himself. He's right here. The word became flesh at one time, and he dwelled among us. That was Jesus. He was here about 33 years. That was God in the flesh, the word of God in human form, the word of God personified, walking around among us. So you could talk to Jesus, you'd have his word, you got to see who God was, you got to know him just hanging around Jesus. And now we have the word in written form, the word of God in written form. And so how can you see him today? If you want to see the Lord today like Job saw the Lord, how can you do it? Well, you go to his word. He's revealed himself right here. Here's where you see him, in his word, in Jesus. This is all it takes. This is enough. This is where you see God. Read it. Read it with an open heart. You'll see him. He'll reveal himself to you. Listen to it with an open heart. Seeking him, he'll reveal himself to you. You'll see him. He's revealed himself in his word. And that is enough. There's nothing more needed. We don't need miracles today. We don't need this is enough. He's given us his word. We see that. You remember what happened in Luke chapter 16? Turn over there real quick. Luke chapter 16. Why is this enough? Don't I need some miracles for my friends to believe? I've got these friends and they don't know the Lord and they're atheists and they won't have listened to anything I have to say. I can't just use the Word of God. I need God to do some kind of miraculous thing in their lives to wake them up. And you ever feel like that? That's not true. This is all you need. This is all you need. Look at Luke 16. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In Luke 16. Ooh, I'm going to wrap it up. I didn't even notice the time. Excuse me, y'all. In Luke 16, we're just about finished. In Luke 16, look at verse 25. Jesus tells this story of this rich man who had everything here on earth, and he died and he went to hell. And this poor man, Lazarus, who used to beg at this rich man's gate, and he died and he went to paradise. He's in paradise. And look at verse 25. But Abraham replied, and so they're both in their places in hell and in heaven. And Jesus is telling this story. But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things." He's speaking of the rich man. "You received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, that's this right here. That's God's word. He said, they've got God's word. Let them read. Let them have God's word. That's all they need. And the rich man argues from hell, and he says, no, listen, if somebody comes back from the dead, please send somebody. If somebody goes to the dead and tells my brothers, they'll repent. What does he say? He says, he said to them, verse 31, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. In other words, God is saying, this is all anybody needs. Anybody who looks at this with an open heart, if they're open and they have this, it's all anybody needs. This is where you see God. Yes, I've heard of Him. I've heard of Him all my life. But now I see Him. I see Him. And where do I see Him? Right here in His Word. This is where you see Him. This is where you find Him. Have you believed so that you can see? You see, believing is seeing. It's not seeing, it's believing. Have you believed His Word with all that you are so that you see? That's when the Holy Spirit comes in, and the writer of Amazing Grace said, now I see. He believed, then he saw. Have you believed? Then you will see. Has the veil been lifted? That's another way God puts it in His Word. There's a veil, and Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. But when the Spirit comes in, the veil is lifted. The veil is lifted. Has the veil been lifted in your life? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? You remember Jesus saying that? That's what He's talking about. Do you have eyes to see? He said, they have eyes to see. And do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? Remember other times He said, they have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. What's happened? Well, they haven't sat in the chair yet. If they'll sit in the chair, they'll have eyes to see and ears to hear. But if you stay outside of the chair, the Spirit hasn't come in yet. Your eyes have not been opened yet. And so though they have eyes, they do not see. Though they have ears, they do not hear. Isaiah 6 is another example of this. The prophet Isaiah saw Almighty God, and what was his reaction? He said, woe is me, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. You see, Isaiah realized once he saw God, he said, oh man, I'm terrible. I don't look too good anymore. Woe is me. Somebody help. And God did the work by His grace. God brought a seraph to come to him and touch his lips with the coals from the altar. And God removed his guilt. And he said, your guilt has been removed and your sin has been atoned for. All Isaiah did was repent. All he did was believe. He realized that he saw God. And he realized that he was despised. And he repented. Peter did the same thing after the miraculous catch. You see, Peter had heard of the Lord. Peter had heard of the Lord. But then, you remember that miraculous catch. And I don't know when the point of his exact conversion was or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But you remember right after the huge catch, then Peter got down on his knees before Jesus and said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Go away from me. What happened? He saw God. He saw God through Jesus. Woe is me. I'm ruined. That's the reaction, Isaiah. The reaction of Job. But now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And then Peter's reaction. I am a sinful man, Lord. Go away from me. Have you come there? Have you been there? Have you seen the Lord? Well, the next reaction is, I repent. I repent. Once you've seen Him and then you look back at yourself and you despise yourself, then you repent. you repent. You turn from self and sin and you turn to Jesus with all that you are. And you say, I am a despicable man. I turn to you. Save me, Jesus. I give my whole life to you. I am yours. Save me from my sins. And you put your full weight, you're pinning all your hope on Him for eternity. That He's the only way that He's going to forgive you of your sins and give you everlasting life and eternal life. At that moment He comes in. That's how we're saved. For it's by grace that we have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We put our faith in Him. In the same way that we're saved, God tells us that's the same way you need to live the Christian life. So how should you live the Christian life? If you know that you know that you know, I've got that relationship, I know Him, I've got it, great. Now how should you live? Live in the same way. Lord, I've heard of You, but I've seen You. Lord, I know You. I've seen You. And so when I look back at myself, Lord, I repent. Whatever it is in your Christian life, whatever you're going through, that's Billy Graham's attitude. That's how he was. Lord, I can't do it. God, help me. I'm totally dependent on You. That's repent. I turn from myself. God, I can't prepare this message. I repent. I turn from myself. I turn to You. I trust You. I trust You. That's what Billy Graham was doing. That's how we need to live our Christian lives. That's how we're saved. Lord, I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do. I repent. I turn to You. Jesus, I'm dependent on You to save me. Will You save me? I give my life to You. And then He does it. Lord, everything else in the Christian life. Lord, I can't do this the way You want me to do it. I can't live the Christian life. I repent. I turn from myself and I turn to You. Lord, I depend on You. Would You do it through me? Like Mary Frank said, the exchanged life. Would You live Your life through me, Jesus? That's what it's all about. Well, I'm going to say a prayer and we'll end this. Father, we just thank You. Lord, thank You for Your truth. And Lord, I just want to pray here today for everybody. Because, Lord, there may be someone here right now this evening. Lord, the stars come out on Sunday night. And Lord, there may be somebody here this evening, Lord, that in their heart, You've just spoken something to them. That in their heart, Lord, they know that they've heard of You all their life and they've been here. But Lord, there might be somebody that's wondering, just saying, well, do I just have a head knowledge? Or Lord, do I have a heart knowledge? Do I truly know You? Maybe there's somebody saying, Lord, I don't ever want to face that day. I don't want to stand before You. And I would never want to hear You say, depart from me. I never knew You. And so, Lord, I thank You for the good news that, Lord, if anybody feels like that, if anybody has any doubt at all, Lord, I thank You. You've told us in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Lord, it's never something you want us to doubt. It's something you want us to know. And Lord, I thank You that Your Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are Your children when we have it. So Lord, if there is anyone that has any doubt right now, anybody who has a hesitation about facing You one day, oh Lord, thank You for the truth that, Lord, they can get it straight right this second. They can put all their faith in You right now and not have to worry about where they are or where they've come from or anything that's going on. And so, Lord, if You are speaking to somebody about that right now, Lord, help them to pray right now. Help them to pray right now, calling out to You. Lord, along with me, calling out to You. With their own heart saying, Jesus, Lord, I know I've heard of You all my life. I know I've been around You. I know I've been very close to You all my life, Lord. I know I've been serving You all my life, Lord. But, Lord, I don't have that confidence that I know that when I stand before You, You'll say, come on in. Lord, I'm having a doubt. And so, Lord, I want to settle that. Right now, I know You've given me Your word so that I may know that I have eternal life. And I know that is Your desire, that I know it. So right now, Jesus, I am coming to You. And Lord, if You are a chair, I am sitting in You. I'm putting the full weight of my life and my eternity in Your hands. Jesus, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I thank You that You died for me. I thank you that you paid for my sins. I thank you that you're raised from the dead, and I believe in you that you're God in the flesh, that you're the Son of God, that you did all that for me. And right now, with all that I am, Jesus, I'm turning my life over to you. I'm giving my life to you. I'm putting all my trust in you. Have mercy on me. Save me from my sins. Come into my life, Jesus. I give you my life. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for settling it. Thank you. And Lord, Father, if there's anybody that is just called out to you in that way, oh Lord, would you just seal it in their heart, Lord? Would you just by your Spirit speak to them that they are yours now and forever? Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if that's you, if that was you, we rejoice with you. We rejoice with you. And we praise the Lord for what He's doing. And so if that's you, share that. You share that as Chris leads us. We'll rejoice for you. We'll pray for you.